This is the DRF Players Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the June 26th edition of the DRF Players Podcast. I'm Mike Hogan, here sitting in for Matt Bernier doing the hosting duties, and I'm joined by, on my left, Dan Illman, on my right, Eric Wing.
Am I sitting in for Peter Fornatel, or is Dan sitting in for Peter Fornatel?
I think Dan is sitting in for Peter Fornatel. You are sitting in for me, who is sitting in for Matt.
Now it all makes sense to me. Proceed.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for joining. It's
a real privilege for you to have me here. No, I used to be big ones. A book, DVD, sitting with Harvey Pack, Steve Crisk, Mike Watchmaker, et cetera, Andy Beyer, and now I'm with you, too.
You forgot Dick Girardi.
Dick Girardi. No, I never had the privilege.
No. Really? No. I thought you met with him on the...
Mr. Bernier had the privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Where is he, by the way?
How far are you falling? They're both at Santa Anita this weekend.
All right.
They're both at the big daily racing form contest that's going to be run out at Santa Anita.
The Raise Your Game?
The Raise Your Game contest, closing weekend of Santa Anita. Very exciting for the both of them, whereas the three of us staying back.
I thought Bernier was in the bathroom with the radio turned up loud.
Well, it's possible.
A youngster, a young kid.
I have not heard from him since he's been out there.
So,
Who knows? Mr. Wing, I hear you're going to be making an appearance at the Meadowlands tomorrow.
Well, yeah. While Matt and Peter are slumming it out at Santa Anita, hobnobbing with American Pharoah, as I saw
on
Twitter
today. That's right.
I'll be where the real action is at, in more ways than one, at the Meadowlands this weekend. But most notably on Saturday, where the Wizard, Michael Kipnis, and I will be doing a little handicapping seminar in the Victory Sports Bar from 4 to 6 p.m. So we're looking forward to that. And this session serves double duty for me, because not only can I talk about my opinions on some of these stakes races, but I can hear yours and Dan's and incorporate that thinking into what I might impart tomorrow at the Meadowlands. And also, after the Wizard and I are done, from 4 to 6, they're going to have a very nice session with Braulio Baeza, the Hall of Fame rider, Foolish Pleasure, so many other greats, Hall of Fame. So he's going to be there signing autographs, I believe, from 7 to 8. The usual great card of harness racing. They've got dollar beers and hot dogs and popcorn. I understand. Somebody told me they had a beauty contest going on. I don't know
but
too many
not
of the
judge.
Details.
Not,
I'm not the judge,
judge okay.
Literally or figuratively on that.
Just don't expect to talk. You're going to be doing it with the Wizard. Don't expect to talk. Let him talk.
I've heard that.
Just nod a lot.
Maybe, get him started, and then I'll probably get my
talking. And try to stop him.
I'll get my talking out here instead.
There you go. Well, sounds like a lot of fun. Even though it's a harness track, you're going to be doing a handicapping seminar on thoroughbred racing, huh?
Yes, indeed. They do a vigorous simulcasting thoroughbred business.
I like it.
Basically all 7 days,
right?
And Saturdays it's obviously the biggest day, so they'll get a ton of people in there.
That's great.
Hopefully a bunch of them will stay over and do the seminar, play the Santa Anita races, the stakes out east, and then stick around for the live card. Should be a great night. It's a great facility, the new Meadowlands Grandstand. It really is.
Awesome. Well, great. All right, well, let's dive in. We've got four good races on the Public Handicapper slate this weekend. We've got the Mother Goose at Belmont, and then three stakes races out at Santa Anita, culminating in the Gold Cup, which I'm sure I will refer to as the Hollywood Gold Cup at least once or twice on the show. So
don't make you a bad person.
Just don't call it the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Okay. Fair enough. So we'll start at Belmont, race 9. The grade 1 Mother Goose is quite a nice field. I was afraid we might only get 5 or 6 entered. We've got a full field of 10 if they all go. I'm giving even money on the scratch of Linda Rice's horse, but
that horse has his distance and class challenge, to be sure. I mean, it's a nice field and it's a good little betting race, but it's certainly not the mother of all gooses, as Mike Watchmaker said during his Watchmaker watch segment that Matt Bernier and I hosted, and is available on DRF.com.
Good point.
For free.
Well, and with that,
Weekend Warrior segment.
Why don't you start with your analysis and your thoughts on this race?
Fine. I think Wonder Gal is the horse to beat. I don't know if I would take 3-1 on her. She is a very good filly, as we all know. I thought she ran an excellent third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year. And it's been unfortunate for her supporters and for Leah Jarmati that she has had an abbreviated campaign. The weather in New York over the winter was horrible. Mm-hmm. It cost her a lot of training time. And thus, she was forced to make her return to the races going 9 furlongs, which I'm sure Leah Jarmati did not want for Wonder Gal's first start back. A, 9 furlongs is far for her. B, she caught a paceless race dominated by a quality speed horse in Condo Commando, and the horse was wide to boot. So it was a nice prep race, and it led Leah to think, okay, we're going to run in the Kentucky Oaks. And then, of course, there's a foot problem. Mm-hmm. She misses the Kentucky Oaks. She shows up in the Acorn with a bar shoe on. Things aren't looking very good for Wonder Gal. Thankfully, she survived the start, mm-hmm. one of the few horses that did in the Acorn.
Yeah, she's one of the only ones.
One of the few horses that actually got a fair
yeah.
trip,
yeah.
and she ran okay, and you could actually downgrade her for that performance if you want to, considering that the winner had lengths worth of trouble at the start. I'm going to take a more favorable viewpoint. Wonder Gal has been compromised in her training. She is rounding back into form. This is her second start. If she's ever going to get a mile and a 16th, it's a one-turn race. She's 3-1. That's too light for me to play, but I think she's the most likely winner.
Guys, do we know anything more about the bar shoe?
Haven't heard one thing. Hmm.
Yeah, what's interesting, you say she had to go 9 furlongs off the bench. I don't know why she would have to, considering
I think they were running out of time.
For a non,
well, I think they're running out of time. You got to get points for the Oaks, right?
I guess, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, she's one. I mean, she fits in here. At 3-1, I don't want her.
No, I think she's the one to beat. I think you can make cases for several other more interesting horses. But I think the conversation has to start with her.
I think so. And, you know, you mentioned it, and I actually wrote on here. You'll see I wrote Perfect Trip in the Acorn in a race where maybe 8 of the 12 horses, including the winner, had not just some trouble, but significant levels of trouble. It's the only time I've seen a race, or at least a grade one race, where it labeled start poor, not start good for all but start
and credit to the chart caller for calling that, because all you need to do is watch the head on of that yeah. race, and it was a disaster yeah. for several horses.
Yeah, and you know, she ran a good third as the favorite. I just want to take a stand against her here. You know, the one I think that is the most likely winner, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get the 5-1 morning line, is number 2, Include Betty, who I thought ran a phenomenal race in the Black Eyed Susan. I think Drayden Van Dyke realized no one was going to get there with Keen Pauline. Keen Pauline, strangely enough, I didn't see it, ended up set a walking pace with very little company on the front end. Drayden swung her 5 wide on the turn. Huge, huge middle move. The third quarter in sub 23 seconds. That was nearly a second faster than Keen Pauline set in winning the race. If she runs anything like that race, and if there's a pace in front of her, which I think there should be with a number of horses, especially if Hot City Girl does run, who I think is a little distance challenged, and she's best known as La Verdad's little sister. La Verdad, of course, wanted no part of a mile and a 16th. You know, I think the race sets up really well for Include Betty, and we could see Tom Proctor's first grade one winner on the dirt since One Dreamer won the 94 Distaff.
Well, between the three of us, we'll have just about every horse in this race covered, because the two I like weren't mentioned by either of you two. The two that attract my interest, by the way, I don't see a whole lot of, just my opinion, I don't see this as a hot-paced race. I see it, Embellish the Lace is probably mm-hmm. going to go, just because yep. it seems like there's a rule that if you draw the rail in a at Belmont in any sort of 7 furlong or longer race, you must get sent a little bit,
right?
Which I don't quite understand. But, you know, that horse has some speed and she'll go. But I don't think she's big speed. Same with Pleasant Tales. Anyway, be that as it may, the two that interest me are the aforementioned Embellish the Lace, who has the kind of gaudy buyer, and I know Marcus Hirsch didn't think much of her in a tweet early today that her, you know, she doesn't look as impressive as the buyer might suggest. I'm willing to take a contrarian viewpoint to Marcus's. thinking that that 95 is going to serve her pretty well in this race if you get anything close to the 72, especially in a race as I see it isn't all that hot-paced. The horse that interests me the most, though, Mike and Dan, is Danessa Deluxe for Jorge Navarro. Perhaps I'm just chasing because I bet this horse pretty strongly in the Black-Eyed Susan. She really got a poor ride, and I know it's, you know, it's not PC to say John Velasquez or, you know, a jockey of that ilk rode poorly, but everybody has a bad day. Sometimes, you know, Mariano Rivera would give up a game-winning home run. There was no pace in the race, as you said. That certainly compromised Include Betty. Danessa, the comment says rank. I mean, she was ranked because she was trying to run her normal paced race, and John Velasquez decided to yank her back, perhaps on instructions, perhaps not. And then she just had a lot of traffic all the way around, and once extricated, really closed strong. I thought it was the type of trip that most horses will give up from, and she really didn't. And given the, you know, that 8-1, obviously we all know that Jorge Navarro knows how to train horses and knows how to send out winners. I don't know if he has big time name recognition at NYRA yet. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that counts for something in the way these races are bet. But for me, it's Danessa Deluxe and Embellish the Lace, and I'll probably box the two of those and play Danessa to win.
And you boys like the horses coming out of the Black-Eyed Susan, and it makes perfect sense because the rider of Callback had a brain malfunction coming out of the gate. That horse was supposed to be on the lead, and somehow she took back, allowed the crazy Roman's horse to get to the front, and anybody attempting to rally from off the pace was compromised. So the fact that the Proctor horse ran very, very well, Include Betty from off the pace, and the fact that Danessa Deluxe was even within hailing distance is a good point because she was completely taken out of her game. Does it concern you that she's a one-run closer, Include Betty? She's always at the mercy of race and pace luck. Everyone in the world saw that she was pace compromised last time out, and that she'll get a better situation. With a horse like this, you know, she could be eight wide turning for home.
Sure. Yeah, of course. You know, I never like a horse that has to do a lot of work late, especially, you know, against in a race where there might not be a blistering early pace. I'm just hoping that there's enough between Embellish the Lace. I think Hot City Girl, if she goes, is probably going to be forwardly placed. I think a horse like Eskin for Money is usually up there. You mentioned Pleasant Tales. I'm just hoping that there's enough early pace that sets it up for her, but you're right. I mean,
Eskin for Money might fall into that nice outside stalking trip. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Pletcher in a perfect spot on the backstretch. I've never really been a big fan of this horse. I think she's a Gulfstream Pletcher Mirage. Mm-hmm. And if she beats me, she beats me. And that just, I think, exposes the field.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, part of what I like about Include Betty is that formulator stat. You know, he hasn't had a Grade 1 winner since 1994. He's only had one Grade 1 winner on dirt in the last 5 years. He's only had two runners hit the exacta in the last 5 years in graded stakes on dirt. Both of them are Include Betty, you know, and so when you see a horse that bucks the trend for a trainer, it gives me extra reason to like them. It makes me think that this could be a really good one because this is not really his strong suit. He gets the good ones on the turf. The fact that he's got a good one on the dirt, you know, I like it. The other one I like and that I might be interested. I don't think I'm going to get 10-1 on the morning line. Number 4, Munisara, done nothing wrong. She's coming into the race. She looks a little like Curlina coming into this race. Curlina coming into the Acorn. Lightly raced. Buyer figures don't really fit on
paper. That's why you get your price.
Right. But, you know, she's out of the La Hadoud.
She was a nice, nice mare.
Very nice mare. She could be any kind.
Well, the fact that the horse that she came back, that she beat last time, came back to buyer something like a 96 or 97, shows that there's tremendous scope for improvement on the buyer scale from Unisara. Right. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to project improvement off of the prior buyer. So while she looks light now, I wouldn't be surprised if we look back Saturday afternoon and go, yeah, she had that 92 in her.
Right. Sure. Of course. And that's my thought. I'm thinking 6 or 7-1 is probably more likely. And it's worth noting, too, that whether it was the bad ride, and maybe it was a trainer change, but I noticed that Johnny V has ended up on that one instead of Danessa Deluxe.
Right. I mean, if it's a tough to say who chose what. You
right.
know, you have to guess assume that John would rather ride for Kieran, or maybe there's a story behind this horse that, you know, along the lines like you were saying, maybe, you know, there's greater scope for improvement. On the other hand, if I were Jorge Navarro, I'd be looking to change riders anyway, so I'm not sure I would have tried that hard to to hold on.
Sure.
It's a fun race. Al Stoll's horse has done nothing wrong and is going to be a good price. It's in the same boat as Munisara.
Yeah.
Light buyers, plenty of upside, and might be a better price than that one. It's really a fun race, and like most of these big fields of evenly matched horses, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to trip, I think. I don't think one horse is going to separate themselves by five at the wire here.
Well, so today is the 5-year anniversary of Dallas Stewart's last grade route.
Yeah, Dallas Stewart's going to punch you in the nose one of these days, because it seems every time you're on these shows, you're pointing at the man's shortcomings. He's won for 100 on this. He's won for 100 on this. He's won for 100 on this. I think he's had a pretty good year.
He has. He's had a fantastic year. But it's been 5 years now since he's won a dirt route graded stakes. 5 years ago today, he won with Seeking the Title, the Iowa Oaks. Mm-hmm. He's 0 for 49 since. Mm-hmm. Does he get it done here with Pleasant Tales?
No. Not because he doesn't know how to train, or that he looks in the
I said the horse, of the sort.
The horse can read, you know, the condition book and say, it's a graded race, I can't win. I think that this horse, while in sharp form, is a little bit up against it right now. And by the way, he looks just like Gary Busey.
Really?
Doesn't he, Dallas Stewart?
I've never met the man.
Busey? I mean, I know what Dallas Stewart looks like, but I'm having trouble picturing Gary Busey. I mean, Buddy Holly? Didn't he play Buddy Holly?
You're going way back from me.
What's he played?
Yeah, he hasn't played much recently.
Oh, okay.
It's a dated reference.
Isn't he on one of those Donald Trump shows?
I think he was probably. Who hasn't been on a Donald Trump
show? He had the motorcycle accident?
I think he did, yeah.
He got a little out there, I think.
He did.
He got a little wacky.
A little
nutty.
Yeah. All right, and with that, let's move on to the Santa Anita races.
Okay.
We've got 3-4 public handicapper. There's 4 stakes races. It's a big day at Santa Anita, the penultimate day of their meet, and the first day of the Raise Your Game contest at Santa Anita. Should be a fun one. Race number 6 is the Grade 3 Senorita. Mm. It's a mile on the turf for 3-year-old fillies. We started with you, Dan, last time. Eric, let's start with you on this one. Where'd you land?
Okay, well, I think it's an interesting race. And the first horse that the race sort of goes through, Curlin's Fox, who I read in the racing form and the Saturday form, has had all sorts of bleeding problems that Carla Gaines is trying to manage, or has basically managed. She bled, apparently, through the Lasix in the China Doll and bled a little bit in a couple of races since. Anyway. I'm a fan of the horse, but she was unveiled with much ballyhoo at Santa Anita, and even after, you know, she won by 3/4 of a length at 3-5, she was sort of hailed as the next big star out there, and you know, maybe she bled, or maybe it was the mile distance, but the China Doll was sort of a disappointment to me. I'll pass her on the Santa Anita Oak, since that was dirt, and who knows if maybe she wants turf all along. But, you know, she comes back at the 6.5 furlong distance, which I believe her mom liked an awful lot as well, and aired again. But stretching out.
Actually, I believe her mom was more of a router.
You're thinking of Cambia Corsa.
We'll get to her daughter in another race.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't want any part of Curlin's Fox. She could win, but I'm not interested in betting her. I want to bet Rat-a-Tap-Tap. I think she's pretty likely, relatively speaking. She comes out of that 2-other-than race against Older, which is pretty salty compared to what these others have run against. And you know what? I would use her in any pick 3s and pick 4s, but the more I look at this race, this is a race where I see 3 or 4 different stretch out sprinters, and it just smacks to me of a chaos race. I want a horse who's going to come from behind, and for me, it's going to be the 7 Miss Double Doro at a 12-to-1 morning line. I'd happily accept 7 or 8-to-1, but she is a confirmed closer. I do see this race as having a high possibility of falling apart. And I do like the second time Lasix angle. A lot of time trainers will give Lasix the first time, but not a full dose. And then by the second start, they give the max dosage. And if that's the case, there could be further improvement. But even if there isn't, that isn't the case, these are 3-year-old fillies. They are in a stage of improvement. I think the race sets up for, and she's 12-to-1 on the morning line. I've said enough.
I like it.
You like Formulator?
I don't know. Tell me. I haven't used it much.
Who knew he likes Formulator?
Yeah.
Carla Gaines, over the past year of horses with this kind of minor layoff, 31 to 60 days, she's won a handful of times. And every single one of those horses, one of the great things about Formulator is how you can get really in depth. Mm. Every one of those horses has had at least a 5-furlong workout in the interim. Curlin's Fox has nothing but half-mile works, and maybe it means nothing. But at a short price, add in the bleeding problems that Eric mentioned that was reported in the Daily Racing Form, I think she's obviously the most talented horse in the race. And again, we hate to use the term, but it's true. She's the most likely winner. But I won't touch her simply because I'm trying to always knock a favorite, even if it's something as slight as a workout pattern from a trainer. Phil D'Amato, on the other hand, it's impossible to find a bad Formulator fact for Phil D'Amato. He's got rat-a-tap-tap. The one thing I worry about her is she's extremely green. Mm-hmm. Tail flashing, wrong leads, etc. Should get a good trip down towards the rail. I'm using her. And I think the other one, Long Hot Summer. D'Amato sprinter out on turf past year. What is he? He's 29% with a 537 ROI. Long Hot Summer beat nothing last time out. She did it on a fairly moderate pace. Well, they go the half, 45 in that race?
45.
Which is nothing going down the hill at 6.5, and she was right up on it. I have a feeling, now Eric says this is a chaos race because there are a lot of stretch-out sprinters. I'm going to take an opposing viewpoint. I could easily be wrong. A lot of these stretch-out sprinters are terrified they won't get the distance. We know how these jockeys operate. They're putting the sleeper hold on everybody just to try to last this distance. And I'm guessing one of the two D'Amatos goes to the front, and I think it'll be Long Hot Summer.
Really? You don't think Avenge is going to go?
I think Avenge is going to be close. I think Avenge is, but I think that Avenge is one of those horses that has shown that she can come from off it if need be. I think Avenge is the most naturally speedy horse in the race. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if Long Hot Summer is aggressive out of there, I think Avenge will be perfectly happy to sit second and say, oh, I'm better than this one. I mean, what did Avenge cost? $650,000, something like that? It's been very good on the turf recently. I don't know. I think this is a race. Long Hot Summer is going to get another trip on or close to the pace. I would use Rat-a-Tap-Tap. I might even use a little bit of Screaming Skylar, who last time out showed a new dimension coming from off it. That's the way I can sort of, you know, back end to this race if I'm wrong from a pace dynamic. Maybe this is the one that comes from off a fast pace.
Well,
I like that promo for Formula.
I like that. That's very good. You should do some more work. Let's talk after this. Eric, I'm sort of your opinion that there are some question marks, especially with some of the most legitimate. In terms of the horse I would most want to own, it's probably a horse like Rat-a-Tap-Tap or Curlin's Fox or Avenge. All of them I have questions about at a flat mile, and for the price that they're likely to be.
You really have questions about Curlin's Fox at a flat mile?
She doesn't beat me at a flat mile. At 6-to-5.
She'll be 6-to-5.
At 8-to-5, at whatever. I think, once again,
it's a great point. It's the Harvey Pack. You know, never been a favorite trying to do something for the first time. She's never won at a route of ground.
Right.
And you can get as narrow or as long with that as round. She's run very well at a mile. Yeah. I think she'll get a mile. It's not like we're asking her to get a mile.
Right. Exactly.
But you make a good point. Yeah. At a short price, again, we're trying to find flaws. Yeah.
Right.
Keep going. No, I was just going to say, like, when I look at this horse or any horse, sometimes I try to decide, you know, what is this horse's best distance? And at this point in time, I think for Curlin's Fox, one would have to say 6.5 furlongs on the grass.
2 for 2 down the hill. Simple as that.
Now, that may prove to be not true eventually.
Right.
But based on the data we have at our disposal now, I'd rather not bet her as the favorite at a distance that isn't her, what doesn't appear to be her best.
Right. In Avenge, 3 for 4 on down the hill. And I noticed Richard Mandela stretching out off of a win, He actually did this earlier this month in the Crystal Water with Forrest Chatter, who was 4-for-4 down the hill, went off as your 9-to-5 favorite, didn't hit the board. So I'm not sure. At the price that they're likely to be, I'm way against both of them. And I think that it could set up for a closer, which is why I think we're in the same church, but I landed on a different pew. I went with number 3, Lutine Bell.
I think that's a fantastic opinion. I really do.
You think I'm...
No, I think it's a fantastic opinion because I think this horse is taking a severe hidden class drop in this race, and you'll talk about Spanish Queen. And this race, I think, while it has a grade next to his name, is more like the Blue Norther than the last two races. Am I right?
You're right.
That's
exactly what I think. And I think even though the horse finished 5th, beaten 8.5 lengths, earned a top buyer in the last start in the Honeymoon, not really getting a fair shake. I think there's going to be a little bit more pace here. On paper, it appears as if she needs a class drop. Jerry Hollendorfer keeps the faith. One of the things that jumped out at me, again, using Formulator, you can go back and look at the Lifetime workouts. Lutine Bell never really was a fast workhorse until recently. And then May 23rd, 58-3, best of 34. May 30th, 58-4, best of 46. June 5th, 58-2, best of 42. And then a 5-furlong work, and then a 6-furlong best of 6, 112-1. Jockey switch, Rafael Bejarano. I like that. Does really good work at Santa Anita, especially with Hollendorfer. Going to be a huge price. Double
and
digits.
We know she can do it at
and
a mile.
We know she can do it at a
it's
mile.
It's all about pace.
We
that's,
know
that's
she can do it at Santa Anita.
She needs pace. That's all.
Let me. I'm fully aware Lutine Bell is 15-1, so I'm never going to knock a 15-1 shot. But I'm asking honestly.
Okay.
Do you give a shot to Prize Exhibit, given the fact they raced against each other in the Providence? In the Honeymoon. And Prize Exhibit actually finished in front of her.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and at, 5-1 versus 15-1.
That's the difference.
Yeah, and you know, in the Honeymoon was, a length difference. They both were off slow. You know, Prize Exhibit is just one of these horses that hasn't really proven it to me in the U.S. yet and takes way too much money compared to what we've seen. And I think a lot of that is coming off of that 4th-place finish in the Juvenile Fillies. And, you know, then, of course, 1 at 3-5. You know, 3-5 winners are expected to win relatively easily. But at this level and against decent fillies, I'm against a horse like Prize Exhibit, especially since, Mike Smith says, I'd rather ride Curlin's Fox.
The only main argument, that horse has never shown me anything, the one on the outside, the Cassidy horse. But The argument that can be made against those two horses are that they are fairly well exposed.
Sure.
They've run 9 races, 10 races. We know what we're getting.
Right.
The D'Amato horse, the Mandela horse, several of the other horses in the race, the Drysdale horse. We can project improvement for them, which I think you're going to get a price on Lutine Bell. And I think you've mentioned some very, very good positives to make a strong case for her.
And the other thing, guys, is... granted, these are just 3-year-old fillies, but, you know, if Curlin's Fox, from a buyer's figure standpoint, none of these are exactly breaking stopwatches. And if Curlin's Fox pops a 91 going a mile, she's going to win most likely.
Yep.
If she doesn't, if she's more sprinty or sprint-oriented, then, you know, these 80s and 83s that, I'm giving them too much credit, these 81s and 79s that the Honeymoon and Providencia horses are running, you know, easily ripe for the taking by one of these stepper uppers, either from D'Amato or Drysdale or pretty much any of them.
Yep. I agree. It's a fun race. I mean, I think you're probably right, Dan. Curlin's Fox may be the most likely winner, but at a short price.
I wouldn't touch her. Let her beat us.
Yep. Exactly.
So far, I don't think Dan's doing much betting on Saturday.
No, as a matter of fact, I mentioned that to Lonnie Goldfeder. As we were doing, who will be doing the show, LRF Live, 4 o'clock on Eastern, and I think these are some really nice races, and I look at them, and I'm like, well, and I don't love anything. I don't love anything. I'll take some stabs against favorites.
Yeah.
I think they're even.
Sure.
But I mean, I think Wonder Gal's probably going to win the Mother Goose. You could have her at 3-1 or 5-2. In this race, I might take a shot with the D'Amato horse, but what price could she possibly be in relative to her chances of winning? If you're making a value line of her stretching out here,
which D'Amato are you talking
about? The two horse. Coming off just about terrible field she beat last time out and had a nice race flow. I mean, she's going to be 7-2 or 4-1 in this race, and I would give her something like a 6-1 chance of winning. And again, Matt's on always talking about the value line. I think it's a very important part of handicapping. You always want to try to make a line and smoke out overlays. And for most of these races, I can't smoke out any overlays. I'll have to wait till post time to find out. But the horses that I like, I think are going to be bet way more than their odds should be.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of D'Amato entering two in here? You think that's any knock on?
No, we've seen him do it before. And as a matter of fact, he runs 1-2 or 1-3 and gets a purse. It's so valuable in filly races, you know, to get this graded black type.
Sure.
And I think this time of year against this kind of division, you're not facing any big guns. If Curlin's Fox is the big gun, she might be.
Right.
But as of right now, she still has to prove it, as you said, and you said astutely. I think both of these fillies have legitimate chances to get black type placing, and he's not afraid of running them. And I'm sure they're going to talk to each other, and Rat-a-tat-tat's going to say, Joe, you're going to go, and I'm going to follow you.
Okay. Well, we'll see. It'll be interesting. There's a bridge race that maybe if we have time, we'll come back to of the race 7, the Triple Bend, a grade 1 at 7 furlongs on the dirt. But that would be the bridge of the pick 3 from the Senorita to race 8, the Royal Heroine. It's a grade 2. It's for 3-year-olds and up, fillies and mares. It's also a flat mile. I will, maybe I'll start.
Go ahead.
This is one where I see, in a lot of ways, a very similar situation to what we had in the Senorita. Some of the best fillies and mares in this race, I think, are better off down the hill. And I think that is most encapsulated by number 4, Bird Lover, who may very well be your post-time favorite. She's 4-1 on the morning line. She's done little wrong. She's 10-10 in the money on Santa Anita turf, 9-10 in the exacta. She's coming off of a win down the hill in the misdirection. She's got Mike Smith. She's the speed of the speed, I think. For me, the question is, I don't know. I think she's better on the hill. I don't know if her best work is at a mile against good fillies and at a short price. She's the one I'm willing to take a stand against. I'm hoping that there's other pace in here. I think Bling Is My Thing from the rail is going to be forwardly placed.
Fantacola
is going to go. Even
Manjita can go a little.
Even Manjita can go. You've got the odd other O'Neill in here who, if she doesn't scratch, she does her best work at or near the lead. I'm thinking it sets it up for number 8, Queen of the Sand. She was knocked off stride when she was trying to rally into a slow pace last out, finishing behind Fantacola and Bling Is My Thing. She gets a positive jockey switch. Boy, I'm if Bejarano has a big day, I'm going to have a big day because she gets a positive jockey.
He's been known to
switch
have big days.
To Rafael Bejarano, I think she was way up against it from a pace dynamic standpoint last out. I think the pace is going to be more favorable to her at a flat mile, even though she's won at a mile and a quarter. She had to run down Fantacola on her own. Nobody went with Fantacola. I think people are going to, or the horses are going to have company on the front end. I think the pace is going to be relatively hot. I think it sets it up for Queen of the Sand quite well. My only concern is she lower than the 4-1 morning line?
Oh, she drifts off that, I think.
You think?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, good.
I think she's going to drift off that price. I think Bird Lover and Fantacola are the two horses that are going to take money, even though it's quite possible they will cancel each other out. I think Bird Lover is the best horse in the race. I think from a pace standpoint and considering the price you're going to get, I'm not sure if you're supposed to play her. And as for Fantacola, you got to give D'Amato credit. He trains Fantacola, right, D'Amato?
He does.
And that, you know, he's gotten her to run so well at distances that are so far beyond her scope.
Mm-hmm.
That last race, she was crying out for her mommy in the stretch. She was exhausted. And by the way, if she doesn't drift off the rail, she wins,
right,
which is a bit
she
of an
She blocks hard not to like coming up the rail.
A bit of an indictment on the rest of the field. I think you're probably right, and this race is crying out for a closer. I think Bird Lover is the best horse. I don't think, again, I would get the odds I need for her to win. Assuming Lucy, I think, is the key to this race, and whether Ed Moger Jr. has her ready off the layoff, because you could argue that she's the most talented mare in the race. Mm-hmm. Her last race came, what was it, September 1st? Mm-hmm. She didn't brake very well. She was in traffic in mid-stretch. She ended up easing widest in the lane, and she was closing. She's always had a bit of ability. I think the argument can be made, and it's a fair one, a mile short, and this is the prep for something else down the road, possibly at Del Mar.
Yeah.
Maybe Bling Is My Thing's the right horse. And this is just a wacky thing I've noticed from watching races in Southern California that involve Bling Is My Thing. When Bling Is My Thing is not covered up, she folds like a cheap tent. When Bling Is My Thing is covered up in the early portion of the races, she fires. Last time out, because there was no space, Fantacola went to the front. Bling Is My Thing was kind of forced. I'm going to sit second on the outside. I'm uncovered at a distance that's longer than my best. And we saw what happened. She just mm-hmm. didn't have any fight in the stretch. Time before that, she was covered up for most of the race. She came up the rail and she won. Drawing inside is a huge advantage for Bling Is My Thing. And I think she's going to sit that great pocket trip that's led to so many wins on the turf over the years. What is she on the morning line?
She's 4-1.
That's a terrible price.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe you get 6.
Right.
This is a race where, again, odds have to determine because, again, I think Bird Lover is the best horse. Mm-hmm. If Bird Lover is 6-1, I'd take a gamble on her at 6. I think she'll be 5-2, and I don't think she's worth that. And I'm interested in what you have to say because I've talked way too much.
I really have very little to add to what you just said about Bling Is My Thing, Dan. To me, this is the horse to play in this race. Again, subject to price.
If she's
at 4-1, I'm interested. I don't need 5 or 6. I'll take her at 4. I thought, as you thought, that she wasn't where she didn't get the trip she wanted to have last time. Eric Kruljack said as much in the Saturday edition of Daily Racing Form, looking for her to be taken back this time, not to do the dirty work. That race last out in which she did the dirty work, I think, as you just said, Dan, was too far for her anyway, so she had kind of a double whammy going against her. The race before that, the course was slow, but still, those were pretty pedestrian fractions that Bird Lover enjoyed, and Bling Is My Thing still ran her down in the Wilshire. To me, she's just the best horse in the race. Say, I'm talking about to win Saturday's race. Stormy Lucy probably is the best horse in the race, but this really does look like a first off the bench prep. Mm-hmm. Among the others, to me, it's just if Bling Is My Thing doesn't win, I don't know who is. So as long as the price is acceptable, that'll be my play.
3 points. If One More does run in this race mm-hmm. and goes out after Bird Lover, the uncoupled mm-hmm. stablemate, then we know why Doug O'Neill's 1-for-50 in graded stakes races. Because it's just an outrage. It would just be an outrage for anyone who bet Bird Lover to see her duel with her uncoupled stablemate,
right,
who's going to be 1,000,000-1.
The line is 1 for 70. Since the start of 2014 in graded stakes.
If One More goes after her, you know why. That's one.
What's the ROI on
that's
that,
Mike? That's an 8 cents, all of 8 cents.
B, I wouldn't completely discount Alexis Tangier. She was fairly putrid in her last start going down the hill. Matt Bernier was especially disappointed in that performance because he bet her. She sat a nice trip in behind. She was down on the rail. She swapped leads a couple of times. But don't you think that might have been just the classic Dick Mandela prep? And now he's stretching around. She's got enough tactical speed to work out one of those outside stalking trips, and she'll be moving on the turn. I wouldn't discount her. That's my second point. And three, if Generosa Dade was trained by anyone other than Paulo Lobo, we'd have been talked about her already.
Right?
And bottom line is Paulo Lobo hasn't won a race in Lord knows how long. Was her race so terrible in the Gangley, a 90 buyer speed figure in her first North American start off a long layoff, considering you're going to get pace, that she is impossible?
Right.
She's not impossible, and she'll at least be 20-1.
Yep.
It's a fun race. It really is.
She figures, he hasn't won. He hasn't won at Santa Anita in 5 years. It is a fun race, and you're right. Alexis Tangier is a very interesting filly. You know what I think that they're doing here? I think she's better off down the hill, partly because her mom was so great down there.
Wow, she was wonderful.
And I think what they're doing is they're saying, okay, what kind of filly do we have? Sure, she's won at a flat mile, but that was against Allowance Company. This is a big step up. She folded in the autumn miss back in October. Perhaps something went amiss because she went to the sidelines until that race in May that you mentioned where she returned down the hill and was an even third. I think Mandela realizes, look, it's going to be a while before we get to go down the hill again. So I want to see, is this a filly that can go two turns for Del Mar? Or do we have to cut her back to a much shorter distance than she probably
wants? She can't go five.
Which is five at Del Mar. So they want to see what they've got here. You're right. At 8-1, if she drifts up from 6-1, she becomes a little interesting. Her sister Moulin du Moujon is a good one going.
Everything coming out of the family is capable of going one. They're just best going down the hill, just like
Absolutely.
Mom. It's a tough race for the public handicappers. You've got to get the race in. How long prior to post time?
An hour.
Hour.
So you can't
prior.
Even
you can't see
the
odds. See, this is the perfect situation. I mean, it's a tough situation for public handicappers.
Right.
Because if I had my picks in the paper, I'd say Bird Lover's the best horse. I'd pick her. If she goes at 5-2, I'd never touch her, the 10-foot pole. Mm-hmm. This is a race where I think if you're going to look at 5 or 6 horses that can win, and you're probably going to go in real life for the best odds in a public handicapper, you're guessing what the best odds are going to be.
And sometimes, this is just my opinion, other contest players may differ. Sometimes in those situations, Dan, like in a pick and pray contest or whatever, you know, a site might call them, when you're faced with that, you're going to say, well, shoot, I don't know what Bling Is My Thing is going to be or Alexis Tangier, but they might be 7-2. So at that point, you eliminate them, even though, they could be 8-1.
Exactly.
Because when you don't have that read, as a contest player, sometimes it sends you to the the Gennaro Vidades of the world.
And I think probably, in public handicapper, Gennaro Sedani is going to be less than 20-1. Yeah. I think folks are going to be like, you know something, she's a price.
Yeah.
She's just good. She can win with a little bit of improvement. And at least I know I'm getting the price. We're in the Bird Lovers and the Fantacolas and the Stormy Lucys and the Blings. Who knows? They could be 5-2. They could be 6-1.
Right.
Now, Mike, do you speak Spanish?
No.
You're sure that's not Gennaro Cid Aid?
Yeah, pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to the feature race. The main event at Santa Anita on Saturday. That's the Grade 1 parentheses Hollywood Gold Cup at Santa Anita. It's a Grade 1 10 furlongs for $500,000. This was a race that a little while back I was thinking we might end up with 6 horses. We've got an 11 horse field, at least right now. 36% of them are trained by Peter Miller. Who knows if they all go.
That's impressive math with an 11-horse field.
It's not
like
bad.
That.
It's not bad.
You gave each horse 9%.
I did.
I had to think about it.
I did. Well, I figure it's my old baseball stats coming. I knew 4-for-11 was a 363 average, 364 average because you round
always
up.
Round up.
I started out a season 1-for-7 once, so I sure knew what 143 was.
We've all gone once. Let's whoever has the strongest opinion jump in. Who's the winner?
Catch a Flight's not losing this race.
That sounds pretty strong. Continue, please, Dan.
Yes.
Again, it's an opinion that doesn't help anybody at home because the horse is going to be 9-5. But at the end of the day, I think he showed in his last race with his measured, and I will say measured, win over Moreno, that he's a better horse than Moreno is, that Dick Mandela has figured him out. And the way this race figures to be run, he's going to sit the exact same trip as he did last time out. Mm-hmm. He draws one outside of Moreno. Gary's going to say, well, Moreno's going to be occupied with the big Casanovas and the Batimans. And I think Poshki is in this race for one reason only, and that's to go and set things up for the other Miller horse, Finnegan's Wake, and Ladaris.
Who knows what Ladaris is in the race for?
So when Moreno makes his move, Gary's going to go with him. And I think Gary at 1.25, Moreno is not 1.25 horse. No. He's run some big races. He's a nice horse. I think Catch a Flight's going to win. I think he will. And I think there's potential for him to be a nice little horse this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could give you a price, but I didn't.
I think you're right that he's the most likely winner. I have a couple points. One is something I tweeted out. It's kind of a funny little one. Grade 1s on dirt at Santa Anita, actually Grade 1 dirt routes at Santa Anita last 5 years. Dick Mandela, he's 6-for-14.
Mm-hmm.
He's 0-for-8 with horses not named Beholder.
Well, true. That's why Formulator is very valuable, because you just took a great number, you made it look, and you're absolutely right in doing so.
The opposite with the Proctor horse.
Ask yourself, is this horse Beholder? If the horse is Beholder, bet. And Catch a Flight may very well be the male beholder. He's done very little wrong since coming to the States. And I think you're probably right. He's probably going to be more like 9 to 5. I don't want Moreno at 10 furlongs. I think he's going to have his hands full. I think you're right that Big Casanova is in here.
His life, by the way, his goal in life, Big Casanova, is to make Moreno's life miserable.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's been the goal before, and it's going to be the goal perhaps again. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because Moreno really has run some nice races.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of folks have said, well, Moreno has raided. Like, mm-hmm. Charles Tain, Ray, you set off a 100-to-1 shot that had no chance. He was basically on the lead in that race. It was like when the pace car backs off and Moreno made the front turning for home. So Moreno might have to be stuck wide chasing some questionable speeds.
Yes.
I think we'll all agree he will inherit the lead on the far turn at some point.
Yes.
He will probably be set upon immediately by the Mandela horse. And the question is, will a horse like Opportunity or Hard Aces, two horses that may benefit at this distance, will they come and get the Mandela horse late? Opportunity, if you look at his record, it's striking how well he improves in his second start, whether it's the second start of his career or the second start of the form cycle. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, the last race, well, it wasn't very good on paper. That track seemed a little speed-friendly at Churchill Downs. And maybe he was prepping for this all along. I think Baffert's always wanted him at a mile and a quarter. As for Hard Aces, he's kind of just a sneaky horse, I think. I think he's kind of slowly improving. And again, Mike Watchmaker made a very good case for him on the Weekend Warrior segment.
I have a stat. I have a John Stadler stat.
You do?
Yes.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
He's in California, so I'm guessing it's probably going to be a good stat.
It's pretty good. Last 5 years, dirt route graded stakes at Santa Anita in the second start off a layoff. He's 6 for 14, $3.05 ROI.
And it's second-time blinkers, and you could throw his race out at Oakland because it's Sadler at anywhere other than Southern California. Yeah. He has some fast races. Mm-hmm. I've never been a big fan of the horse, but at the end of the day, at a mile and a quarter, he might get the setup. It really is will Gary be drawn into the race too soon by Moreno?
Yeah.
That's the key.
That
and I'm interested, Eric, your thoughts on Opportunity. He was up here, he's down here. Mm-hmm. I think the fans have just sort of, if he wins, he's the next great thing. When he loses, he's a bum. I think he's a pretty good horse. I think he tried to actually win that California Chrome race in Shared Belief. And I think that race knocked the starch right out of him when those two said no to him at the quarter pole. And that last race, maybe it was just a prep for this. The problem is, because of his name, what kind of price can you get? I mean, is he the third choice in here at 4-to-1 Opportunity?
He's 7-to-2.
Second choice at 7-to-2. You're saying in the...
Do you think Moreno is second choice?
I think Moreno goes third.
So, all of a sudden, Opportunity might actually be an appealing price at something like 4-to-1. I think it's a fair value line play on this horse.
I think Opportunity could win this. Only based on what I've read over the past few months. I mean, they were hoping that this would be a big cap horse, and something went amiss. That a mile and a quarter was what this horse would ultimately want. And they were saying that going into the big cap before the horse got injured.
They were saying that going into the Kentucky Derby, too.
Yeah.
And Matt Bernier was chairing that bandwagon before the Derby. So this was distance, and Matt's now off him.
Right.
So now,
it's too early, I think.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Mike, I was here with you and Peter saying that I don't think this is the night for Opportunity at Stephen Foster. This was never the goal. The goal was the big cap. That, with the somewhat odd 2 week plus a ship turnaround, really does give credence to think that this could have been the goal all along. I would submit this isn't, there aren't any Shared Beliefs in here. It's not exactly a Santa Anita handicap caliber field. Moreno versus Catch a Flight, to me, yes, Catch a Flight is more adequately suited for a mile and a quarter than Moreno, but I do feel that they're somewhat comparable in general in ability. I'm trying to see, as I look at this race, if somebody might run better than a 105, which I feel reasonably confident Moreno and Catch a Flight are pretty likely, to, at least one of them do.
Mm-hmm.
So Opportunity could be a sneaky one for that. The other one I'm going to say, and this is, you might see I'm just grasping for straws here, but I do think Finnegan's Wake is a win contender in here.
For sure.
For two reasons. First of all, for a few reasons, but first of all, this horse reminds me a little bit of Daddy Knows Best. Asmussen trained to win the the Sunland Derby mm-hmm. a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He's one of these horses from a handicapping standpoint that will always be a little higher in price than he should be because a rational person can't look at the PPs and make a case for him. Like, how do you say,
well, you can make a case for him simply because he will love the distance.
You say, absolutely. Look, it's a grass horse. You know, all right. So, but anyway, that was the case with Daddy Knows Best in that race. He was a hard, he was
right, he had just won the El Camino Real on the sin. Yeah. There was a big question mark on mm-hmm. the dirt. So,
anyway, but, and now I'm going to do a little commercial for a new product that people out there should at least be aware of. It's the Saturday Stakes Preview, which comes out every Thursday and just has all the big stakes in it for Saturday. And the other thing that it does, unlike the PPs I'm looking at in front of me, is it gives you 14 lines of past performances rather than 10 or 12. And if you go down 14 lines on Finnegan's Wake, you see his most recent dirt start, which was a 94 buyer in the Clark Handicap despite having broken slowly. All right, 94 is not going to get it done. But I will just submit to those willing to hear an opinion that Finnegan's Wake on grass became a much better horse for Peter Miller than he was for Dale Romans.
He's a better horse now than he was back when
he's
he was running.
He's a better horse. And absolutely. Back then, he was running 94 buyers despite breaking slowly.
Yeah.
He will like the distance. He's, you know, didn't embarrass himself in the Clark. He's now under the care of Peter Miller, who seems to have him running at his best. According to Miller, he's doing well. Now, that and $2.50 will get you right on the subway, perhaps. But to me, he's the other one, besides Opportunity, who could vanquish the Catch of Flights and Moreno's in this race.
I like Finnegan's Wake in here. I have two concerns, and I'll voice them both to you, Eric, as questions. Mm-hmm. What price mm-hmm. do you think he'll be?
Finnegan's Wake, about 7-1.
Really?
I think he'll be 12.
Really?
Yeah. You think okay. he'll be shorter?
Maybe. I just don't know. I mean, you know, he's people will see, granted that it's on turf, that he's had four of his last five races have been triple digit buyers. The one that wasn't was a 99.
Okay.
They'll see that he's one that can get the distance. Mm-hmm. They'll see also that Peter Miller is throwing half of his barn in this race in order to get a setup for Finnegan's Wake. So I'm afraid he drifts down from that 6-1. If he drifts up, I'm with you. I can make a case for it happening. My other concern, and I'll again form this as a question, how far out do you think he's going to be early? How many lengths back is he going to be?
Peter Miller, in daily racing form, said he will tell Mike Smith to ride him like you rode Zenyatta.
He will
so
be
he'll
less.
Be 25 be lengths back.
Well, and again, will the speed-friendly nature of that track really right. help this horse's right. cause? But at a price, you can gamble that. The question, again, is price.
Is he Zenyatta?
Well, he's not Zenyatta.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
That ride
but
works
But he's
on
going
one
to
horse.
Get pace and distance.
But he might have something to say about the pace part of that, too. With,
right. That's sure. what I'm saying. He's going to get pace.
He'll get pace and he'll get distance.
From an odd standpoint. The average come from behind her hoping
oh, sure.
that
you know you're getting pace. Even if he wasn't in the race, Poshke, he was going to get pace.
Yeah.
There are only so many points to go around. Now, maybe I'm wrong in thinking the horse will be 9-5 Catch a Flight. Maybe he'll be a 5-2 favorite. Everything, everyone else goes is sort of right on top of each other. I just think he's 9-5. I think you're probably getting 7-2, 3-1, 4-1 on the two next big names, whether it's Moreno and Opportunity.
I think Moreno's up.
You really think Moreno's the third choice in the race?
Yes.
So you're saying he's a 5-1.
Yes.
Chance.
Yes. I think
okay, so you're still getting about 16.
I think right. Finnegan's Wake and Moreno may be around the same.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a hard
because Motown Men's not going to be 6-1. He's going to be 10.
Motown Men.
He's going
to
be.
It'll be a fun race to see. I think Eric makes a very good point. I mean, you're looking for a horse that's going to get the distance. At a mile and a quarter to a mile and a half in the San Juan Capistrano, which we'll see on Sunday, a mile and three quarters, sometimes you just take the form, you throw it out the window.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you say, who's going to get the trip?
Right.
It's what separates the men from the boys.
Right.
In fillies, we see it when we stretch out to a mile and an eighth, and I think with colts, we see it when you stretch out to a mile and a quarter. This horse will get the distance, and he's going to get pace. We'll see if he's good enough.
Right.
At a price, you gamble that he's good enough.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and if you're right that he might be 10, 8, 12-1 even, he's my pick. I'm concerned he's too low because he's the wild card in the race.
But what do you do from public hand? I don't want you to tip your hand, though. I mean, I don't know how that works.
I can tip my
hand. I mean, for some reason, I've never been invited to be on public handicap.
Yeah, because it's a closed circle and nobody can sign up.
I think Scott Carr doesn't like me. I think that's what it is.
Right. That's right, Scott.
You doesn't like me.
You've blocked any D. Illman.
I'm guessing there's some sort of conspiracy involved.
Right.
Some of these contests you actually have to look into in order to play them. I don't always get
What do you looked at? What do you looked into?
There's not a red carpet that they roll out.
They didn't roll the red carpet out for you? What happened? You called them up and said, I want to be a part of this?
No.
How did it work out?
Go to the damn website and you sign up.
But you're a featured player. I'm not going to be among the rabble. You're a featured player. How did that happen?
You want to get featured?
Well, I'm not saying I didn't. Well, I mean, you don't know. The red carpet was rolled out and they said, how would you like to be featured?
No, I think Matt and Pete said maybe we should cover the public handicapper races on the podcast. Hey, right. Scott, what do you think of that idea? He said, that's great. I'll put a page up for you.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And put Formulator on as the third guy.
Oh, are you saying, you who started out this podcast is saying you're doing us a favor. Are you saying you're feeling hurt that you're not on
it? I helped the people out. It's always nice to be asked. You don't want to be the one sitting there that never gets asked for a dance at the prom. You know what about that. You know all about that, Eric. That's fine. I mean, I'm just... Let's keep going.
Okay, for me, there are four horses that I think can win this race. I don't think any of the other seven, if they go, have a shot. And the four will come down to price. I think your most likely winner, as you said, is number 9, Catch a Flight. I don't want him at 5-2 or lower, and I think he will be lower. Opportunity is also interesting. I think second off the layoff is what he wants. The quick wheel back makes sense. I had another weird stat. Bob Baffert, grade ones on dirt going long at Santa Anita last 5 years. 5-14, 0-9 with horses not named Game on Dune.
Ew. Ooh. And I believe Matt Bernier came up with a stat in our race of the day and said, like, after 2 weeks, not so good either.
Yeah. You know, Baffert, the quick wheel back is not really...
His forte.
Is not his forte. He's not David Jacobson. But that said, I think it's an endorsement that the horse is doing well. He finishing third behind Lee and Noble Bird, or as it says in my paper, I don't know what it has in yours, they've abbreviated in the form Lee to L. He finished second to the letter L.
Would you like to lodge a formal complaint?
No, I just like that.
It says, I've got Lee in what I downloaded.
Okay.
And let me check my Saturday stakes preview.
In the printed paper that I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah, I got L.
It's the letter L.
He ran third behind Lasix.
You've got a young daughter.
That's Lasix, yes. She loves Lee. She's a big fan of L.
It's the letter of the day.
It's the letter of the day, Lee. Still a believer, by the way.
But I think for public handicapper, I'm probably going to end up with Mike Watchmaker.
I think that's the value, my friend.
Hard aces.
I think I might be right with you. And again, Lonnie and I will be doing it live on Saturday. And I think that horse will be the price to play.
I think he's the price to play. I think he gets a good setup. I think, mile and an eighth, he's only really done it once. I think he can get it. Quiet American Dam over Hard Spun. I think he'll get first run on Finnegan's Wake. I think he'll be sitting just behind Catch a Flight. Hopefully, if Catch a Flight isn't good enough, Hard Aces will be.
I'm really looking forward to the race because I want to see how good Catch a Flight is. I have a feeling he's not a one-hit wonder. I think that last race was for real.
No.
And now he has to do it at a mile and a quarter. The good ones have to do it at a mile and a quarter.
That's right. All right, gentlemen, anything else we want to cover before we wrap? Do we want to talk Triple Bend?
I'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. You got the Cornhusker, you got the Iowa Derby, you got the Triple Bend, you got the Eatontown. You have an opinion in the Eatontown.
I do, but it's only if it stays on the turf and it might rain.
Are you a weatherman now?
No.
I mean, because if it stays on the turf, Kenzar Darjan's going to be the favorite.
Yeah,
if she runs, we
you're
no
riding her, right?
Now. I'm riding her.
You're riding her.
They did it.
That's the concern, right?
That's the concern.
I mean, if this horse is going to be the favorite, and they don't name a rider,
well, you would think
they can't find anybody on the grounds.
You would think someone would want a rider, considering her last race.
Is she cross entered?
No.
Well, you wonder,
Jose Liz Conner wins with her at Monmouth last out in a listed stake, easily. And he's riding at Belmont, and he's not even riding in the Mother Goose. He's riding in a couple claiming races.
Dan Smartley's coming up at Woodbine. That's a big pot. This horse supposedly is training well, according to our crack staff. Mike Welsh and his staff.
In fact, I've got it right
saying
here.
He's working beautifully. She is working beautifully.
She, according to, I'll tip our product right here. According to the clockers, she was better than What's the Chances while hard held by Joel Rosario. Why doesn't he ride her? And galloped out well after going slowly. And then the work before that, better than Goldie Espigny, without being asked.
At the end of the day, if she runs in this race, let's say just the field stays intact, and it might not. It might be a three-horse race on dirt. She won that race last time out. She's a very nice filly.
She is.
She had a wonderful trip. She is. Saving ground.
She's been favored every time.
She came right up on the rail. Yep. And there's a horse in this race that comes out of the same race that got beat, three lengths? And had 7 lengths worth of trouble in that race. And you could tell everybody about that horse because you've tipped her before.
Well, evidently, who is my... she's kind of become my pet these days. I loved her at Tampa at 18-1, and she didn't disappoint there. She finished a nice third behind Kenza D'Argent, and you noted she was giving up 7 pounds of weight to Kenza D'Argent that day. Now she's getting they're getting the same. Kenza D'Argent is gaining a pound. She's dropping 6.
And just
that could
watch,
be enough.
And just watch,
just
the,
watch
race.
The race.
Watch the race, because if you reverse trips, you reverse results.
Yeah. She also went the fastest. If you look at the incremental, she went the fastest second and third quarters in the race, and she was only 1/5 slower in the final quarter than Kenza D'Argent, and that was with the trouble.
Amazing status. She never gets bet.
She never
She's raced 10 times. She has never been less than 11-1 in her life.
Right.
B, if people are going to talk about trouble in this race, they're going to talk about Boca Iuva, who has raced twice in North America after a fairly successful career overseas and has just had terrible, terrible trouble that the world has seen in her last two races. I think Boca Iuva's running style is prone to going and getting in trouble in these kind of races. Maybe it's the same thing with Evidently.
Could be.
But I think you get a much better price on Evidently.
Absolutely.
It's a fun race. I really hope this race stays on the turf. I'd love to handicap it live with Lonnie tomorrow afternoon.
Because I think the other point for Evidently, and maybe it helps Boca Iuva as well, is there's a lot of pace in this race. There's a lot of pace. Speed Seeker's going to go. I'm Already Sexy does her best work on the front end. Even a horse that might be the favorite if Kenza D'Argent is not. Stellar Path, she's got to be forwardly placed. You've got Rusty Slipper, who was on the lead in her last race. I think it just helps set it up better for a horse like Evidently.
And I think Recepta is a very interesting horse.
I think Recepta
Jimmy Toner has always had a lot of hopes for Recepta. And Recepta last time out was in that ridiculous race where Discreet Mark was just handed the lead on a silver platter.
50 and 4.
Waltz the first quarter in 26, most importantly.
Right.
And not only is Recepta chasing that pace, but she's chasing it while three paths wide. So, and the fact that she hung in there, and she is a fairly lightly, or was she a four-year-old now?
She is.
She's a fairly light. I think she has more tactical speed than Evidently.
She does. She does. She'll get a better trip.
She'll get a better trip. And I think, when you have horses with so much even ability, it's going to come down to trip.
Well, and even a horse like Sista Stroll, who I really...
go ahead.
She, I think, had as bad a trouble, if not worse trouble, than Boca Iuva did in the Gallarette. Mm. It's just a little harder to see because of that weird camera angle you have at Pimlico.
Well, she was sort of pinched in between horses turning for home, and you could tell she was almost scared to change leads because she was in tight so much. And then by the time she did, the race was over and she finished. It's a fun race because even a horse like Speed Seeker, who looks overmatched on paper, if you just watch that last race, I believe it was at Tampa Bay Downs.
That was the one where Evidently beat her.
And that was a race where there was a complete pace collapse.
Sure.
Now, she was favored in that race coming off a race where she was a zillion to one against Stephanie's Kitten, and she acquitted herself quite well. And maybe she should never be
22-4, 46.
Maybe she should never be a zillion to one, but maybe she should never be 3-2 either.
No.
But you know she'll be a big price here. And if you want to talk about race shape, and Kenny Peck, who's our Monmouth handicapper, talks about that a lot, that Speed Seeker last time, while it just looks like on paper, speed tired.
Sure.
The race shape didn't work out. She was the only part of the pace that he was even around the mid-pack. Everyone else was last, next to last. Right. She's a tough horse to like, and here is a tough horse, but you get a price.
Yep.
It's a really fun race.
Well, if none of the other speeds go.
If none of the other speeds go. You kind of think I'm already sexy probably is going to go because that's the best chance for her.
But it didn't. She didn't too bad.
Nobody in this field has more speed than I'm already sexy.
I don't think so.
If she chooses to use it. But but look, she's in every other race. She doesn't use
it. And she wasn't, I mean, in point of fact, we just said, I just said, nobody's faster than she is. She didn't have the lead in her last race right from the get-go.
Right.
She did eventually.
I mean, Paco,
but she didn't
Paco's
blast
on
out.
Her. The last time Paco rode her, she won. She didn't have the lead in that race either. You know, she's really only had the lead in the first call. You got to go four back in
I just think it's a fun race because Kenzo D'Argent and Stellar Path are probably the two most talented horses in the race and the two most accomplished. Kenzo D'Argent did have the benefit of a very good trip last time out, and Stellar Path was fairly awful at Woodbine last time out. Maybe she was ridden incorrectly to prompt the pace down towards the inside. Maybe she is better when taken back and allowed to make one run. Maybe she didn't like the course at Woodbine that afternoon.
Cool.
But that's a lot of maybes for a horse that's going to be the second choice in the wagering. And I'd rather take a chance that maybe she just wasn't that good that day, and maybe she's not as good as they thought she is. Horses like Recepta, horses like Sister Stroll, horses like Evidently, Boca Iuva, Speed Seeker. You have a lot of different ways to. You can get creative in here from within the race, trifectas, et cetera. You know, hopefully it stays together. And this the last 15 minutes haven't been in vain.
And, I got it when we get off, I got to check Toner at Monmouth. For some reason, I have this thing hitting me that he doesn't do very well there. But that's just anecdotal.
It's possible.
It's quite possible.
Data.
Possible. He hasn't had, according to this, he has not had a runner at Monmouth since, he hasn't had a runner at Monmouth
this meet. Right.
I did not look. So we'll take a look. You can tweet it out. Tweet it out and tag us and we'll get it going. All right, gentlemen.
I'll only do that if it supports my point.
Okay. That works. That works. Speaking of tweet, your Twitter, Eric Wing?
DRF Wing.
All right. I'm DRF Formulator.
DRF _ Daniel.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I really appreciate you sitting in today. I hope we haven't disappointed those that are used to having a real host and having real
guests.
You
had one. You just didn't want to use them.
I gave you the chance off camera, and you declined, sir. So, all right. Thank you. I will not sign off the way Pete does. That's his signature. So I will just say, everyone have a great weekend, and good luck.